Welcome to the Prophecy Club. Our topic today is three questions the pre-trib believers can't explain. All right, now, first of all, what do the pre-tribbers believe? Okay, so this is 7 years, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They believe that before any trouble, Jesus is going to come out here, come up in the clouds, and pull them up in the clouds, and then they go to the marriage supper of the Lamb for 7 years. Then 7 years later, they come down out here with Jesus to witness Armageddon. That's the way they believe it, and I'm going to show you another way to look at it. I'm trying to be nice. Okay. So this is the way I believe that is correct. Okay, now who am I? Well, 40 years in Bible prophecy, 37 DVDs, 4 books, and I memorized the book of Revelation. I don't even think that makes me special, but I do think God has shown me something, and I'm going to try to bring that to you today. First of all, one of the visions, when I memorized the book of Revelation, I got 30 revelations, 2 visions, and an audible voice. And one of the visions showed me that people, some things, cannot be learned by just audio and video. In other words, you can talk to your blue in the face, but they're not going to get it. And I have witnessed that. I have tried to explain a lot of the things in prophecy, and the eyes just glaze over. They can't get it. Even Leslie comes to me. I can't get some of this. Well, it's because you can't get it by audio and video. You said that's the reason you have to put it in a book. So I wrote this book here, The Secret Door to Understand Bible Prophecy. And we put together in a 5-book package. Let me explain the package, then I'll explain the books. So, yes, you can get each one of these for about $20, but we don't want you to get single books. We package them together. This package has 10, 10, 5, 10, 5 for a total of 40 books for a gift of $100. Why do it that way? Well, the whole point of this is not to inform you folks that are prophecy students that pretty much already understand this. The whole point is to get this into the hands of other people. So we send you extra books so that you can give them away. Yes, it's gifts, but some of it is soul winning too. All right, now let me explain the book. All right, so this is the one, this is my opinion, the granddaddy. Okay, if this is the most important book, I believe, outside of the Bible. In other words, I think that this will sell millions of books. Now, Leslie will tell me when I wrote the book, she says, yes, that's what everybody thinks about their books. Everybody thinks their books are going to sell millions. Well, I do with this one. Here's why. God showed me in one of the visions a secret door. The word first fruits, which links Leviticus 23:10 to Revelation 14:4. And as a result of that, the feasts over here in Leviticus can be then placed, or I should say Revelation is actually placed into the feasts, because the purpose of the feasts is to show the last 7 months before Jesus returns and to show Jesus to the Jews. This book explains that. And what there was a prophetic word, says there's a lock. I put over a word in the book of Revelation I'm going to open to you. It'll turn many books into obsolete books. That's this book. And I don't think it turns all of the prophecy books into obsolete books, but probably most of them. Because for the first time, you have a book in your hand that can really help you to understand what's really coming. And I don't think I'm special. I think you're special. I think you're, matter of fact, God has told me, I am called to build an end-time army of prophecy teachers working miracles. This book is part of it. I encourage you to get it. Also, I put together, I didn't write this book, but I compiled Dimitri Dudeman, Michael Baldea, Leslie Johnson, Henry Gruber, all of the very, very best dreams and visions and Dimitri's testimony into one book. And you want to have this by your bedside as we go through the days ahead. This is the best-selling book I wrote, Miss DeMarc, because it is very simple. And it's a quick read. This is designed to hand to anybody, even if they worship other gods. Just ask them to read the first few pages. If they read the first few pages, they'll probably finish the book. If they finish the book, they will never take the mark of the beast. And it shows them what the mark of the beast looks like and also the number of his name. And once they see that in a book, even if they just glance at it, Then when it comes out, they'll go, oh, I was warned about this. See, and that's where you want to get to. Now, our topic today is the pre-trib rapture. So I wrote this book, and I go through 25 pre-trib questions and answer them scripturally. And this explains how a nation that was raised up to be a godly nation, a Christian nation, got snookered into believing that there's a pre-trib rapture. And it explains how we bought the lie and the correct truth about it. Again, also wrote Tribulation Sequels in Daniel. It's not all of Daniel. It's just the parts of Daniel. As we go through the end times, we're going to need. I recommend you get these, and I was just really impressed. I mean, I haven't talked about my books in a long time, but I was really impressed that I need to get these books into the hands of everybody out there. So you go to prophecyclub.com, 40 books, gift of $100. That's the deal you want to get. 40 books, gift of $100, prophecyclub.com. And if you've ever given to Prophecy Club, let me encourage you. You really need, especially if you're a prophecy student, if you're a soul winner, if you want to win souls, if you want to be able to explain what is going on when some of these things start falling apart, here it is. $100. Put $100 into soul winning. You can potentially win a lot of souls. And by the way, when the miracles start happening, when we start having sports stadiums, if you want to be there, it's very important that you've read at least Secret Door, probably all of the books. You need to get the books, get yourself informed about where we're going. Sports stadiums, oil in Israel, some big things are coming. Also, if you want to be a teacher, get the Watchman's Package. Now, in this package, you get two 2-foot by 3-foot charts, big charts. And these are the updated charts that I'm going to be talking about today. You also get my handwritten book where I wrote out the book of Revelation right here. I really did. Wrote it out, all of it. Wrote it out, memorized it. And that's where Secret Door to Understand Bible Prophecy came from. You also get Secret Door copies, 5 copies of it. And then I taught through chapters 5 through 22 of Revelation, and here's me teaching through it in a Watchman's Conference. It's valued at $355, gift of $200. So what I'd recommend you do is get 40 books, $100. Okay, so invest $100 in souls. In this one, if you want to teach it, invest $200, make yourself a teacher. Someone that some pastor is not going to be able to come along and upset your apple cart, mess you up, get you all confused. You need to know it, and these will help you to know it. All right, so today's topic, 3 questions, just 3. I'm going to try to be simple about it. 3 questions that pre-trib can't answer. Now, let me start with the basics first here. Okay, so there's 7 years. That's called the tribulation, and the audible voice said, the 7 seals play over 7 years. It stops here. The 7 trumpets play over 7 months. Stops on the same day. The 7 vials play the last 7 days. It all stops on the day of the Lord. Now, let's jump to this. And I'm going to explain this more in detail. This is my map of the last 7 months. Okay, this is the last 7 years. But from right here to here is the last 7 months. So this is kind of taking place when from here to here is the last 7 months. Revelation 14:1 says, I looked and lo, a lamb stood upon the Mount Sinai. Who's the lamb? Obviously it's Jesus. Stood upon Mount Sinai. And with him 144,000 having his father's name written in the foreheads. Now in the book, Secret Door to Understand Bible Prophecy, I explained to you 144,000. I show you the scriptures. There is no question. They're not alive on the earth right now. I'll tell you right now, they're just not. Okay? I'll show you scriptures, help you understand it. Anyway, so that happens on first fruits. Means from here to the return of Jesus is about 7 months later. Then about almost 6 months later here on Mount of Olives is return of Jesus for Armageddon. Remember Zechariah 14:4 says, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem the east. The Mount of Olives shall cleave into it and split and all that sort of stuff. Well, here's the point that's very important point to know. These two events are not the same event. And this is another thing that'll disprove a pre-trib rapture, because the pre-trib rapture says, let me jump back to it, pre-trib rapture says Jesus returns here, then 7 years later, we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, then 7 years later, he returns back here. That's not accurate, because how do you explain Revelation 14:4? I looked and the Lamb stood upon the Mount Zion. Okay, so if the seven feasts are the last 7 months, and I believe they are, and that's the only way you can fit them together there, then about 7 months before Jesus returns, he returns on the first of first fruits. So if you look it up, the Mount of Olives and Mount Zion in Jerusalem, as you can see here, is about a 38-minute walk. And you can see here is one, and then it goes downhill and a back up. Depends on whether you want to walk to and from, whatever. But it's about a 38-minute walk from one hill to the other, meaning Jesus returns two more times. Now, pre-tribbers would agree with that because they say, yes, that's correct. He returns before the tribulation and then in Armageddon. But the scriptures say he returns at first fruits, and then 7 months later, it's for Armageddon. Now, let me go on. So here's a chart I put together. Jesus returns two more times. Marriage Supper of the Lamb is about 4 months. Now, let me show you the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Here's the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. I'm Pentecost, and I'm going to show you the scripture that proves that Pentecost takes place, the Marriage Supper of the Lamb takes place on Pentecost. So he returns two more times. The next time he returns to Mount Zion in a lamb body on first fruits, resurrects 144,000. There's the scripture. Then about 4 months later, he comes to Mount of Olives in all power, King of Kings, trumpets, burns the tares. Two different times. So this does not take place 7 years before. It takes place about 4 months before. Okay, so here's our first rapture question. If the rapture takes place before the seven-year tribulation, as the pre-tribbers believe, by the way, I'm not beating up on pre-tribbers. I hope you're right, okay? Well, at least part of me hopes you're right. But I want to be here for soul winning. And if you get raptured out, then you don't get to as many souls. In my opinion, I don't think you're also an overcomer, because I think Revelation says for you to be an overcomer, you have to see the beast, hear the beast, but not take the mark. And that is going to be the biggest test of our lives. Anyway, if the rapture takes place before the seven-year tribulation, why does this verse show Jesus returning after the mark of the beast and just before Armageddon? Now, I'll agree, not everything in Revelation is chronological, but these verses are. Revelation 13:16, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or their foreheads. We're all familiar with that. So then we skip down four verses later. Yes, it is another chapter, but the chapters were added by man. John the Revelator didn't add the chapters. Anyway, so it's continuing thought. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood upon the Mount Zion. So here we have the mark of the beast. Then we have Jesus returning the next time, which is not pre-trib. He returns here. Here is about 6 months before Armageddon. So this proves that there's not a pre-trib rapture. It doesn't line up. Now, okay, next question now. If Jesus comes before the tribulation, why is he telling his people to keep their garments? Who has garments? The sinners? No. The tares? No. The people whose lamps are gone out? No. Your garments are what you're going to wear to the wedding. Okay, a wedding garment. So why is he telling them to keep their garments way down here? There are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth, into the whole world, to gather them to battle the great day of God Almighty. This is the day before Armageddon. Wait a minute, Stan. I thought you said that we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb about 4 months before. That is correct. Here on Pentecost, we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But what this is describing is right here. Let's go back to the scripture. I'll show you. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. This is the day, or a couple of days, before Armageddon, and he's warning the people not to lose their garments. How do you lose your garments? You lose your garments by taking the mark of the beast, by walking away from Jesus. Now, wait a minute, Stan. If we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb here, you're describing people that have wedding garments here. Well, those wedding garments didn't get used. Look at this verse here, Revelation 14, 13. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, but their works do follow them. Remember the virgins that didn't have lamps? Their lamps weren't burning? That's who it's talking to. In other words, they're virgins. They should have been going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Remember the example of the man got up at the marriage supper, and he says, where's your wedding garment? He was speechless. He said, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. So there's some even go to the marriage supper of the Lamb that are cast out. And some apparently have wedding, the only way you can escape that is, or the only way you can explain it is some of them have wedding garments, but they didn't get to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. They weren't ready. Remember the parable. So they weren't ready. Now, let's go to the next question. Number three, why does the Bible say Jesus returns at the last trump? If there is a pre-trib rapture, why does this scripture even exist? 1 Corinthians 15:51. This is the big pre-trib verse. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed. What is the change? Is when out of our belly flows rivers of living water, and boom, just like that, we get a glorified body. When do we get that glorified body? In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump. That means, now I've seen another scripture where those that go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, apparently on the way up, they also, I'll show you the scripture in just a second, they also get the marriage, they also get their glorified bodies, but we get the glorified bodies and our rewards here. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. What trump? Well, how many trumps are there? There are seven trumps. So that would be the seventh trump. So where is that? That's right here. See, remember, there's seven seals. There's seven trumpets. Seven trumpets play over 7 months. The seven vials play over 7 days. So this event right now, we're talking about right there. Back up. In a moment, twinkle of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So here is when we get our glorified body. Now, back out here. Let me back up and show you this again. So the next time Jesus returns, he comes down here on first fruits, resurrects 144,000 1-year-old Jewish boys. Get the book to understand it. He walks around with them. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These are they which are not defiled with men, for they are virgins. Okay, this is the 144,000. They walk around with Jesus for 50 days. Then on the day of Pentecost, the barley and the wheat, the barley are the Jews, the wheat are those that are not Jews, but their names in the book of life. Then we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, apparently some don't get wedding garments. And apparently, some are left that have wedding garments. I can't explain that. I'm just going to show you the verse, and then we'll let you divide that all out. Then we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he takes off his old garments and puts on King of King garments. I'm going to show you the scripture. And then he washes our feet, or he comes forth and he serves us at the marriage supper of the Lamb for some 4 months. About 4 months later, then we return with him. Remember how Jesus rode the ass in? Well, that was a picture of him riding in a white horse back. So he rides back in a white horse. Behind him are the two angels that have the sharp sickles. Behind them are the armies in heaven, and behind them are you and I just coming from the marriage supper of the Lamb. Remember the scripture says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That's the first resurrection. Okay, so then we return for the great harvest. We return for the burning of the tares for Armageddon, which is about 6 months between Mount of Olives and Mount Zion. Let's go to the next question. Not a question, a statement on this one. Number four, Sundar Salvarej says, June 1, 2006, he had Jesus visit him. He says, that Jesus said, read Matthew 24:8, because everything's true there. He says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. He explained in the book of Revelation the message of the seven angels and the seven churches and the breaking of the seven seals and the blowing of the seven trumpets and the outpouring of the wrath of God all fit with Matthew 24, saying that all Christians will go through the tribulation. Now, this is him saying this. It took me by surprise, he says. I told the Lord, what are you saying? What you're saying is contrary to what most of the Pentecostals are preaching. The Lord said, all you people are wrong. I was shocked at what the Lord told me. He said, okay, let's go with what you all are believing, that all the Pentecostals are preaching that the rapture will take place before the tribulation. If the rapture will take place before the tribulation, then who will be left behind? He said, the foolish virgins and the unbelievers. All right, let's go with that reasoning. If the foolish virgins and the unbelievers will be the ones who will be left behind to face the Antichrist, they are foolish virgins. Their minds are dull of understanding, and they will not discern the word. Why then would the Antichrist need to force them to take the mark of the beast? He doesn't need to force them because they are already prepared to take the mark of the beast. So why would he need to force them? Good question. The scriptures say he will force them. So who will the beast need to force if the righteous are already gone? He said, that opened my eyes. Matter of fact, let me read that again. The scriptures say he will force them. So if there's a pre-trib rapture, who is he going to have to force? If there's a pre-trib rapture, he didn't have to force anybody. In other words, all the rest of them pretty much take it. Then the Lord said, the mark of the beast is the final test for all Christians all over the world, deciding who will keep their allegiance to God and who will not. The mark of the beast will separate the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the tares, the wise from the foolish, the false from the true, and the wolves from the sheep. This is the ultimate test. Only the true believers will not love their lives and death and will refuse to take the mark at all cost. But the foolish virgins and the false believers will accept the mark of the beast, thinking nothing is wrong with it. Now, number five, since the veil is lifted at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I have to tell you, I just discovered this verse. I thought this is really cool. So this is not in the book. It's new stuff. Since the veil is lifted at the marriage supper of the Lamb, how can that be before the tribulation when everyone knows Jesus? In other words, when Jesus lifts our veil, we already know it. What were you talking about, Stan? This is what I'm talking about. Okay, so when the groom lifts the veil to finally see the bride, because the way it's really supposed to work is we're not supposed to see the bride until we marry her, okay? I won't make any more comments on that. I'll just move along. Isaiah 25:6. And in this mountain, this is talking about the Jerusalem mountain, or the mountain where the new Jerusalem comes down. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things. We're talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb there. A feast of wines on the lees. I had to look up what lees is. It's the settlings from very fine wine, supposedly the best part of the wine. The feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined, so the very best of the best. And he will destroy this mountain, the face of the covering cast all over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. So at the marriage supper of the Lamb, he lifts her veil. What does that mean? Well, I think it also means that he pulls out the seed of the serpent in our heart. I think that he removes the veil so we can finally see him. We can finally see and understand, because at that time we're in eternity. That's when we can look back and see everything. At that time we know the truth. We know all the truth of all truths. He will swallow up death in victory. What does that mean? It means that, yeah, although you're dead, because you've made it here, it's a victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. Okay. All the earth. That's not a pre-trib rapture, okay? Can't remove all of the veil from all of the earth. Not a pre-trib rapture. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest. And Moab shall be trodden down under him. That's all part of the morning star. Even as straw is trodden down, that's the blowing of the fire down. He shall spread his hands forth in the midst of them as one that swims. And he shall bring down their pride together with spoils of their hands, and the fortress of the high fort and thy walls shall he bring down. That's when the shaking takes place, starting on the Feast of Trumpets. Let me show you. Starting here. The Feast of Trumpets here. Then it shakes. You can't see it there, but there's a little 10 days written up. It shakes from here to here. And then the great white throne of judgment, all the shaking is done. 5 days later, the New Jerusalem comes down, and we have a new world. I've given you three more reasons, perhaps even more, why there's not a pre-trib rapture. In 2021, I started making bread, and long story short is I believe God showed me that wheat is God's famine food, just like it was famine food back in the 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, days of Pharaoh and Joseph. And I believe that that's what God has planned to feed his people. And you get it by going to josephskitchen.com. Three steps. First, you want to get a machine package. Second, you want to order 6 ingredients and watch some videos, download the recipes to be able to make the bread. josephskitchen.com. Most of your long-time storage food, emergency food, all of that, typically are talking $9,000, $10,000 to feed one person for a year. Joseph Kitchen can show you how to do it for around $1,000 a person, and your kids will actually eat it, and it's actually good for you. Here's some bread that I made. In my case, I lost weight, lowered my blood pressure, gives me more energy. I eat a morning, slice in the morning, slice in the afternoon, always a slice before I go play racquetball. Go check it out, josephskitchen.com. And right now, Joseph Kitchen has a summer blowout going on. They're offering red wheat at half price. Basically, buy one pail, get one pail free. Buy one pail, get one pail free of red wheat. josephskitchen.com. If you don't want to lose your life's savings, if you have an IRA or a 401k, then the thing to do is call 800-200-GOLD. 800-200-GOLD. These folks are Christians, and they specialize in helping people not lose their life savings in the event of a stock market crash and things like that. Look, most of the 401ks, most of the IRAs are in paper, backed by paper, and as Lindsey Williams says, if it's in paper, it's worth the paper it's written on. You can lose it all. 1-800-200-GOLD. 800-200-GOLD. Hey, give them a call. Doesn't hurt, doesn't cost you anything. See if they can give you some good advice.